Test. One, two, three. Test.
No, it was bad. At least with us, we get this one.
Salute to the flag. Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Borough of Seabright, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, has provided the date, time, and location of this meeting to at least two designated newspapers, publish the same in the Asbury Park Press and the official newspaper. Filed it with the clerk, posted notice on the bulletin board in the borough offices. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Give a roll call, please.
Cashmore?
Here.
Chairman Cunningham?
Here.
Lubia?
Here.
Vice Chairman Tecito?
Here.
Councilman Lexby? Absent. Mayor Long? Absent. Court?
Here.
Knott?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Duffy?
Here.
McGinley?
Here.
On to memorialization.
I'm out of practice.
No, that's it, right?
On the resolution for Edward Higgins, 27 Center Street. Oh, it's withdrawn.
Right. We are accepting withdrawal of their application.
Okay. On to...
You just want to, we do want to move it then.
Okay, with motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second it. Put down.
Roll call, please.
Cashmore?
Yes, to accept the...
Abstain.
Oh, okay.
We're saying yes to, we're accepting the withdrawal.
That you're withdrawing, yes.
Yes.
DeJulia?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Tecito?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Duffy?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
On to the, ready?
It's Levy, actually.
Levy?
That's a, L-E-A-V-Y.
Oh, okay. Levy and Sobel, 33 Normandy Place. Motion?
I'll make a motion to approve that resolution.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Cashmore?
Yes.
DeJulia?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Tecito?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
On to Sunny Sandwich Shop, 1064 Ocean. Megan?
That was for the...
Refrigerator.
Refrigerator.
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Cashmore?
Yes.
Lubia?
Yes.
Chairman Tecito?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
Seabright Beach Club, discussion or a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve that resolution.
Cashmore?
Yes.
DeJulia?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Tecito?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
Okay, on to continued application, 1030 Partners LLC and 1010 Ocean Avenue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mark McGann on behalf of the applicant. As the board may recollect, the last public hearing in this matter, which we had testimony, was back December 6th, 2016. We had a meeting scheduled here for January 24th, 2017, but it was adjourned due to lack of quorum. The board does recollect back in December 6th, there was a concept plan presented by Mark Lieber, our engineer, regarding the proposed parking lot on Route 5. This was a plan, concept plan he presented that evening was basically a plan which the borough endorsed in terms of their state project. And what he's done since then, he has put it into a formalized plan, which was submitted to the board about 10 days ago. And this plan is dated March 8th, 2017, and I have it on the easel here, and this would be marked A11, is that correct?
That is correct, and I just want to, for the record, at the last meeting, I somehow introduced or marked two A9s. The first A9 is, would be the correct one, and that was the revised architectural plans by Stephen Rossidi dated November 15th, 2016. And then I marked as A9 also a composite wooden sign. That should be corrected to read A10 for the record. And then A11 will now be the revised site plan by East Point Engineering with a revision date of 3/8/17.
That consists of one sheet. Mark Lieber's here. Just briefly, I'll have him introduce the plans into evidence. And then you can certainly ask him any questions that you do about this plan.
Mr. Lieber, you were previously sworn.
Yes.
And even though it was last year, you'd continue under oath and you acknowledge that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Mr. Lieber, you called back in December 6th. You did appear here and did testify as to a concept plan that you prepared in light of your discussions with Fran Mullen, the engineer from T&M, who's handling the borough streetscape plan. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. This plan is consistent with what we showed in December. Basically, the parking lot now has 29 spaces in total. There was an entrance proposed off Ocean Avenue, more or less in the center. That's been eliminated. There's a note on the plan that the entire opening across the property, with the exception of the egress that's there today, will be replaced with, you know, full height curb. And that in lieu of that, the entrance would be off of Old Rumson Road. It'd be a two-way 24-foot wide access. And the circulation pattern would be right turn in and then two-way drive aisle or egress out to Ocean Avenue through the existing easement that's there today.
And you provided two ADA compliant parking spaces?
Yes, we have.
And also you're providing shade trees along Ocean Avenue?
Yes, we actually, we received a copy of the latest streetscape plans from T&M, and we had laid this out to be consistent with what they're constructing, and we actually put a note on the bottom that indicates that the actual frontage landscaping and pavers and whatnot has to be consistent with what their plan had already been approved for.
And the aisle width between the parking stalls is how many feet?
25.
Okay, and that meets the ordinance requirements?
It does.
And the parking spaces are 9x18s?
They are.
Okay, and you've also, pursuant to a board member's request, you've also installed shrubbery along the West Street property line, the parking lot, is that correct?
It is.
Okay. And you did prepare this plan?
Yes.
Okay. And you did forward this plan also to Fran Mullen at T&M Associates, is that correct?
I did.
Okay. All right. I have nothing further this week.
I just have a couple things. So you've eliminated the access, the ingress from Ocean Avenue?
Yes.
And the only ingress will be off of Old Brunson Road. Egress will be at the same location currently, consistent with the Nautilus easement. Is that right?
Yes.
The same driveway. And you talked about the streetscape. There's a street light, I think, on notice on your plan. And I think you discussed with the borough. So the borough, I think, has purchased street lights pursuant to their street light plan. Do you agree that that's the light that you will install?
It is.
Okay. And should you be approved, you would agree that any damage or disruption that occurs to either the plantings, lighting, the fixtures, the curbing, sidewalks, or any borough property or fixtures, as a result of this project, will be restored to fully conform with the borough streetscape plan?
Standard, yes.
Okay.
And Mark, you defined, obviously, the egress for the Norless property and various signs you have there regarding the, basically, concerns that the people in Norless raised regarding the parking in that aisle and parking in the front of the entrance and things of that. So basically, you've signed it.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I have nothing further. Questions from the board?
Is there going to be enough room to get a garbage truck around and in that parking lot?
Yes, because the entrance to this parking lot is not curved island, it's just striped. So this is all just open pavement.
Okay.
And what's the distance from the entrance to like that? That's a curve there on the lower right.
You mean the radius here?
No, on the other side.
Up top?
No, down in the front. Right there. Is that a curve?
This is the existing curb parking that's there today. So what you have is, you come in from Ocean Avenue on the right, there's six parking stalls with a curb and a, there's actually a sidewalk beyond it. These are handicap stalls. And then on the left, you had, I think, five parking stalls. So the middle three would be removed and that would become the entrance. So nothing dimensionally as far as aisles or anything like that would be changed.
What's the distance from that entrance to that curb? A garbage truck is going to be about 35 feet.
Right, but the turning radius of the garbage truck would be entering off the Ocean. That would be either making a left turn or perhaps a right turn. So I don't see this curb being in the way.
You could put a template on it to make sure.
Sure, yeah.
We could do that as a condition.
On the north side of the lot, is there going to be both entrance and exiting onto Ocean Avenue?
No, this is egress out only.
No, on the north side.
On the north side, two-way.
That's a public right-of-way. I, you know, it's up to the town.
Marty, where are you pointing to the egress only?
Right here, where it is today.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So where the easement is.
And now, how about this property over here, if you will, contiguous? Is that going to remain a special one to anticipate parking?
Yes, we have a lease with the beach club to park there.
Just identify which one you're talking about.
Lot three.
Thanks.
Lot three. Yes, as mentioned several times, we have a lease there for parking. We're entitled to park from Labor Day on all the time. And then Memorial Day, it kicks into the evening only.
So within the parameters of the time that you have it available, there'll be ingress and egress from the same driveway?
Yes.
Here?
That's exist today. That's the way the parking lot is.
I understand.
Configured, yeah.
So
We're not touching lot three.
Understood. So whatever this distance is, you could have a car coming this way, going this way, this way, going this way. I'm just sort of thinking of those scenarios. Or can you only go left out of that parking lot?
It'll be, as far as I understand from the DOT, it's going to be right out only.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Okay, thank you.
Marty, are you going to have anyone else testifying as to the site, or is this our only chance for questions on that?
As far as the parking lot is concerned?
Well, here's my question. Where the Nautilus parks, and you have the increment from Rumson, Old Rumson Way, through their parking lot, and then they would exit out. That's one way through there. And they would exit out through the easement alongside Thomas.
Type of circular motion.
Exactly. Do they own that property? Is that just, can the public use, go through the front of their lot? This what here? You were just showing, yes.
This is, does that my knowledge, this is a private property.
That's private property owned by Nautilus.
Correct. That's my understanding.
And so the whole back of this building is landlocked then. Nobody could use that for deliveries technically.
It
would be a problem if a delivery truck were to go through there and try to exit through the right of way or
we will not. No, we have no intention. We never have used those for deliveries.
And then what about emergency vehicle access to the back?
We have moved the trash area. As you recall, we had the trash area back further to the west. We bumped it up further towards the street. That's why we're requesting another variance of 18 inches because of the bump out coming forward. And that provided us with a way of getting a vehicle back in there if it had to go back in there.
Except that they would be going opposite of the one-way traffic. That's the
thing. Well, it'd be an emergency situation. I mean, in an emergency, I guess you would do that. The fire marshal was not looking for any type of fire truck to go back in there. So probably the worst thing, maybe an ambulance would have to go back in there. But, you know, ambulance personnel would probably have to make sure that there's no cars coming out of here. The only cars that would be coming out of here at the same time, maybe one of the ambulance or something would be going in the back, would be someone coming out of the Nautilus.
Right, but the increased use of the back would exacerbate that situation.
Well, not necessarily. And we have people
in the back. More people to
are. We have people dining here now. I mean, we have 50.
No, I understand the dining isn't an issue so much.
Yeah.
And we have increased use of the open.
We'll have people back here primarily waiting for a table. And seasonal situation. So.
But there is adequate, it is adequate access. Fire marshal, they don't have a problem.
What's the latest status of the bridge taking?
I've been told that our property is not within the scope of the work.
Even as far as the new entrance to the parking lot and everything? It's not going to interfere with that at all?
Not within the scope of their work. That's what their county council has told me.
Dave, you had a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I did receive this new plan and reviewed it, and I actually emailed back and forth with Mark a little bit and did talk to TNM about it. I like it, I think it's safer. Of course, it conforms with the streetscape. The only comment I have is that there's a striped island on the south side of the old Remsen Road. I'd probably want to make that striped island mimic the one on the north a little bit. It's more rounded. See what I mean, Mark? Yeah, there's one on the north that's curved. Right, right here.
Oh, you're talking about here?
Just make this one more rounded. Just make the one on your side more rounded, that's all. So it looks more like what's on the north, so it's even and regular, symmetrical. Engineers like symmetrical.
I don't see a problem with that.
I just need to define that a little better so that, just tell me, which island?
What I would like to do is just have the painted island on the south side of old Remsen Road be shaped more like the north curved island.
Okay.
And that's the southeast one you're talking about?
Yes.
Right here, Harry. This one right here.
I have to put it in a resolution.
No, I didn't realize you're trying to identify.
It would be the southeast.
Mimic same as the curved island.
On the northeast side.
Of old Remsen Road.
But that's not a curve.
No.
It's painted.
I'm just saying, just paint it differently. Just so that they, when you come in, you look at it, they're the same on both sides.
Right.
Got it.
That obviously helps.
Simple as better is too.
I'm not sure why they wouldn't be now.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, let's move on to the public. Anyone in the public have a question about the testimony? Yep, yes, sir.
Just for the record, Ron Gazarovski representing, I forget who.
Henry Johns.
Thank you.
Just a couple of quick questions. I'm coming a little bit late, but my understanding is that during certain times of the year, which I believe are after Labor Day and prior to Memorial Day, they'll be parking on some adjacent properties, is that correct?
It is.
What are those properties?
Lot 3.
That's where the Chapel Hill has its parking?
Said after Labor Day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Chapel Hill parking lot?
I believe so, it's to the left of the restaurant.
Okay, do you know how many parking spaces that will accommodate?
Actually, we presented a plan,
You have a copy of that?
Yeah.
No, it's not part of, time out. When you're not presenting a plan as part of this application, Lot 3 is not part, we've gone over this four or five times. Lot 3 is not part of our application. We are not relying upon any parking on Lot 3 as part of our parking calculations. It's totally out of the scope of our project.
You're representing to this board, as I understand it, you'll be parking cars.
I would answer the question from Mr. Smith. I didn't make a representation. He asked me a question, I answered it.
Your answer was that you're utilizing the Chapel Hill parking lot for parking.
That's right. I answered a question from Mr. Smith.
Correct, but Lot 3 is not, I mean, you can ask, but Lot 3 is technically not part of this application. It's been discussed in prior applications, but...
It's part of the use, though. It's being used.
Well, they are not claiming it as their use. They're presenting this parking scenario as they're presenting it on Lot, whatever that lot is. What's our lot mark?
5.
Lot what?
5.
Lot is just 5.
Okay, so on Lot 5 is the only parking really that's before this board that's being presented. So it's a bonus maybe that you want to mention it, but this board is not basing its decision on whether or not they have parking on lot three, only on lot five.
That's correct, and I've told this board at least a half a dozen times.
So, as I understand this application then, the only parking which can be taken into consideration...
Correct, is lot five.
Is that parking which is on lot five and/or whatever's in the public parking spaces?
Correct.
Just one quick question, just since this was brought up. Do you know how many parking spaces will be accessed to on the Chapua lot? If you know.
I just don't know off the top of my head.
Would it be fair to say then that when that lot is not in use, in other words, after Memorial Day and before Labor Day, all of the parking that was in that lot in the off seasons has to find someplace to park in Seabright?
I actually don't want to speak for John Jarr, who was here. John Jarr is a traffic engineer, and I believe he had discussed that issue.
Where are they going to park? Do you know where they're going to park?
I'm going to object to this line of question. It's totally outside the scope of direct. We've already told Mr. Gazarovski on several occasions, we are not taking lot three into consideration. We're not asking the board to take it into consideration. It comes to parking.
I still want to know where they're going to park.
Well, they're presenting that they're going to park.
They're presenting this parking lot in this application.
So I guess the question is...
This parking lot that's before us.
Right.
Lot five.
Mr. Gazarovski.
If you have a question about that testimony about that he just gave us, try and stick to that.
Mr. Lieber, maybe I can just pare it down because we've forgotten a lot over the past couple of months. So how many parking spaces are provided on lot five?
29.
Including the handicap?
Yes.
Okay, and what's your requirement?
53 total.
Okay. So that's what they're presenting to the board, that they're providing 29 and 53 is required. I just didn't go through my notes.
53 is required under the ordinance for the operation of that facility?
Correct.
No. There was a variance.
For the expansion.
Let's get the record clear again.
For the expansion, I'm sorry.
For the expansion, the variance granted for 135 parking spaces when the board first considered this application. What we're doing as far as the rear yard, as far as the second floor, required additional, I believe, 53 spaces, of which we're providing 29 on lot five.
Correct.
Yeah, but all of that, I'm not going to prolong this, but whatever variance is received, all that required parking, which was required in the first application, has to be added on to what's required for the second operation, so you know exactly what the total amount of required parking is and what he's providing.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Anyone else in the public? The public portion is closed.
Okay. Next witness. Next witness. Thank you.
Anyway, it's true.
Good evening. You need to be sworn. Here's the Bible. I always tell you, raise the
parking lot number three.
So. You never got to testify before, Mr. Kennedy. You solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
It is.
Can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Andrew Janiw, J-A-N-I-W, Beacon Planning and Consulting Services, 315 Highway 34, Colts Neck, New Jersey.
Your credentials for the record, please.
Certainly. I have a bachelor's and master's degree in civil engineering from the New Jersey Institute of Technology. I'm a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey, as well as a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners.
Mr. Janiw has been before the board on multiple occasions, and to save some of your breath, without any objection from the board, we'll accept your credentials.
As I say, and they haven't changed since the last time I've appeared.
Any cross on Janiw's credentials?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, you have reviewed the subject property?
I have. In preparation for this evening, besides attending multiple meetings related to this matter, I've visited the site on multiple occasions. I reviewed your ordinances, your master plan, your re-examination reports, as well as all the correspondence and the engineering letters prepared in response to this application, as well as the various changes to the site plan that have been prepared throughout the course of this application.
And Mr. Janiw, this application actually entails two lots, is that correct?
That's correct, lots four and five.
And let's start with lot five first, which is the parking lot. And this requires, obviously, a use variance, because it's not a parking lot, standing alone is not a permitted use of the zone.
That's correct. If it were attached to Tommy's, it would be an accessory parking lot that would be permitted. There is testimony provided in terms of the intent to keep Lot 5 separate ownership because it was a gas station, and there are some considerations in terms of what potentially liability could be with the former gas station and the like, so there's a desire to keep that in separate ownership. But it is a freestanding lot. It will be separate and distinct, but it will be exclusive through agreement for the utilization of Thomas Tavern.
And that it would be stipulated to if the board were to approve this application as a condition of any approval that it be used solely as an accessory to the restaurant?
That is my understanding.
Correct. So in addition to, we have a site plan also associated with Lot 5, use variance and site plan.
That's correct.
Okay, now as we get to Lot 4, we have several variances which include an additional front setback by reason of moving the stairwell forward.
That's correct. There's an addition proposed to the northeast corner of the building, which will include a stairwell and service corridor to accommodate the second floor egress. That is slightly bumped forward. The current setback in that location, I believe, is approximately 23.19 feet. The new setback would be 20.72 feet.
So roughly another 18 inches.
That's correct.
And the board granted that variance initially in the original plan.
That's in the original approval.
23 feet and a fraction.
That is correct.
And we also have a side yard variance where the new trash enclosure would go. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
And that is essentially on the property line which adjoins the parking lot.
Correct.
But for the fact, it's really a financial type of subdivision. We have different financing, we have economic, environmental conditions. That, in fact, were all one lot, you would not necessitate.
That's correct. It's a form over function type of variance. If these lots were in fact merged, that would not be the side yard. That'd be the middle of the L-shaped lot. But because we'd like to keep the lots subdivided in separate and distinct lots and blocks, that is a technical side yard, and that is a violation because we are taking it to the lot line.
And when we first started this application way back in the summer, we actually had this trash enclosure closer to the northeast property line.
That's correct.
As a result of moving it forward, we eliminated any variance of that trash enclosure to that property line.
That's correct.
And the first application when the board approved this matter, there was also a variance for the side yard over here, which is the southerly property line.
That is correct. The building is abutting that southerly property line.
That southerly property line, however, is not changing in this application.
It is not impacted whatsoever.
No further relief required.
That's correct.
So basically, you have a side yard variance for the trash enclosure, a modification to the combined side yard dimensions.
That's correct.
And you have a front setback as to the stairwell as it bumps out approximately 18 inches.
That is correct.
In addition to that, you have a sign variance on the northerly side of the property.
That's correct. There's a desire to put a secondary sign on the northerly elevation in order to identify the property from traffic heading southbound along Ocean Avenue.
Okay, so we have front yard, we have combined side yard, we have a side yard, and we have a sign variance.
That's correct.
Those are our bulk variances. Are there any other variances to your knowledge?
No, that is it in terms, the parking.
The parking, obviously, I was just going to get that. So we have a site plan, obviously, approval required, amended site plan approval for Lot Number 4.
That's correct.
Okay. And then we get into the parking variance based upon the additional utilization of the second floor.
That's correct.
For private parties and the utilization of the rear yard for essentially.
For staging area.
For people waiting.
Correct.
All right, so what I'd like to do is have the board the benefit of your study.
Certainly. So as the board is aware, this property is located within the BR, which is the Business Residential District here in the Borough of Seabright. This is a district that permits restaurants as a permitted use, single-family dwellings, multifamily dwellings, provided no more than two residential units are within that structure. Variety of retail businesses such as antique stores, hardware stores, department stores, food stores, financial businesses, personal service establishments, yoga and massage therapy, beauty shops, dog grooming. It's fairly liberal in terms of the types of uses that it allows. It also permits conditionally professional offices, schools, and light industrial uses. We just went through what the scope of the application is, and the idea here is now Tommy's been operating for several years. The owners of Tommy's have had some operational considerations in terms of how the property can work better. It's been enormously popular, as everyone here is aware. And the idea here is that the desire is to provide not only essentially private dining space for events and for the benefit of parties and the like, but to create a staging area towards the back of the property, as people do tend to wait for tables during peak hours. And the idea here is to utilize this space in the back as an area where they can gather off the street, off the sidewalks, to provide to avoid congestion. And this is very typical of these type of restaurants. As you go down Ocean Avenue, you see, for instance, Angelica's puts tables out, and if you're waiting for a table at Angelica's, you can have your bottle of wine. They'll bring you appetizers while you're waiting for your table to go inside. A variety of restaurants do that where they can. Matter of fact, near Angelica's, there's an alleyway where they set up tables for staging or for outdoor dining in good weather. It's just the nature of the beast. It's a resort community. There are a lot of people that utilize these types of establishments during the summer. And the desire is to keep everybody, not to lose the traffic, quite frankly, but to keep everyone entertained and waiting as they obtain a table. And that is exactly what's happening with Tommy's Tavern. It's an enormously successful establishment, and quite frankly, it's a wonderful example of reutilization post-Sandy. This property was damaged, and well, I have some aerials which I'd like to introduce.
These haven't been marked, right?
These have not been marked.
Okay, so A12. And just tell us what that one is.
Sure. A12 is an aerial of the property, likely pre-Sandy. It's not dated. This is a Bing aerial. But it is not dated. However, based on what we're aware of in terms of what improvements were on the property, this is a pre-Sandy view of the property. So I'll update that today as well, Gary. So on this aerial,
just identify the property if you could. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say this building here is what's currently Tommy's. You'll see there were outbuildings, bungalows, and the like towards the back. So this property was fairly well established in terms of development. You'll see the setback further. And adjacent to that is the former gas station and convenience store that we talked about that is now being proposed to be a parking lot. So you have the convenience store repair shop here, the canopy with the fueling adjacent to Ocean Avenue, and this would be Old Umson Road, and the access to the Nautilus. So that was the pre-Sandy condition of the property and the neighborhood.
So in terms of the Nautilus property, if I were residing in the southerly grouping of apartments at that time, I would be looking at the roof of that home, which was closest to the river?
Well, there were three homes here, and as you can see, there was regular access by vehicles that were parking in this area as well. So there's quite a bit of activity on the property to the back.
So you're admitting that there's adequate access to get in the backyard with vehicles?
There's 12 feet.
Okay, well, I just want to, and there were
homes
there.
These are cars. Okay. These aren't commercial vehicles. But again, for the purposes of what was there, yes, the cars were parking back there, and there were homes, and there was quite a bit of activity back there. Carrie, have another aerial.
A13.
Now this is a little bit of a later photograph. You'll see the homes in the back have been demolished. They're gone. Tommy's building is still here. The gas station, the canopy, is no longer operational. The building is gone. The canopy is still there. It's believed to be a post-Sandy photograph, although it's not dated. But clearly that was the condition of the property. And you'll see Nautilus is still there, the parking, and the configuration that we have, largely pre-Tommy's development. So just to give you a distinction in terms of what the activities were previously versus what they are today. So today, what we have essentially is Tommy's Tavern operating on this portion of the site. The back is essentially a patio and a open area with a trash enclosure. And this now is a vacant lot, the former gas station, the canopy, the structures are all down. It's basically a vacant lot and intended to be repurposed for parking, for exclusive for Tommy's. At the time the board considered the application for Tommy's, the board noted that it would be a significant improvement to the property and stated, "What the applicant intends to create will send a strong signal to the community and visitors that Seabright intends to push forward even better following the devastation inflicted by Superstore Sandy. The board noted that the proposal will contribute to the commercial vitality along Ocean Avenue." And that's exactly what's happened here. We have a successful business, and quite frankly, it's something that's acted as a catalyst, and we see businesses reopening now in Seabright. It's been a while since Sandy, but this is certainly one that was on the forefront and created a lot of vitality and brought in a lot of traffic, both local and visitor traffic during summer months. And quite frankly, it continues its success off season as well. It is a destination and an attraction for local residents as well, in terms of a place you can go for a fine meal or a beer and the like. So that is essentially where we're going with the application. What we're trying to do now, as I had mentioned, is to utilize the rear of the property as a staging area for the traffic and the patrons that are waiting for a table. There are waits for tables during busy peak periods, evenings, during weekends and the like. And the idea is to keep them there to entertain, especially with it's a family establishment, you have a lot of families going with kids, to create something that'll keep the kids busy. A lot of restaurants will have games, video machines, pinball machines and the like. This is a resort community, it's recognized as a resort community. The idea is to keep the activity outdoors and to let everybody enjoy the outdoor benefits of being in a shore community. Looking at your master plan, the 1989 master plan specifically talked about this area as the central business district, and it sought to promote a desirable visual environment and the redevelopment of this district. And that's exactly what's occurring here, although the catalyst was unfortunately a devastating storm. There is now an opportunity to redevelop businesses, and you're seeing a lot of construction. I know this board's heard many applications for new businesses and businesses looking to rebuild and reopen. However, this is something that was intended even prior to the storm in terms of keeping the vitality of Ocean Avenue alive. And the plan went on to say that oceanfront commercial uses should include restaurants, beach clubs, cabanas. The 2014 reexamination report stated, "Because of Seabright's vulnerable coastal location and its developed character, the reoccurring planning issues that Seabright faces will include infill development and redevelopment through demolition or reconstruction and the need for the revitalization of the central business district." Again, we had that identified back in the 80s, pre-Sandy and post-Sandy. It's a continuing theme, and the need was never greater than post-Sandy. It went on to say that the state's planning initiatives subsequent to the borough's reexamination have emphasized the need for sustainable development, economic prosperity balanced with natural resource protection. Under the land use portion of the reexamination, it stated, "The board further reaffirms the goal of encouraging the development and retention of resort-oriented commercial uses." That is exactly what Tommy's is. After a day at the beach, it's a place to go and to take the family for a bite to eat. It's common along oceanfront communities, and this has become a very popular destination. The master plan describes Seabright overall as a resort-oriented community with such proper establishments. The plan recognized the need to revitalize the downtown and retain this development. The application before this board serves those purposes, and I think will only improve the operation of the property as it stands today. We're seeking to provide for private parties, which will be year-round and largely for the benefit of local residents. I think Mr. Bonfiglio testified that he doesn't anticipate using that space a lot during the peak season because he has a very busy period already in terms of the staffing and maintaining the traffic that's already at the place. However, off season, it's a fine, when it's a little bit slower, it's a great use and for people to have parties. There aren't a lot of rooms available, unless you're a member of a beach club or something like that, where you can have a christening, a bridal shower, a small wedding, those kind of uses. This would be ideal for something like that. In terms of the municipal land use law, we look at the benefits that this would derive. And I quite frankly cite three. G, under the MLULs, to provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for a variety of agricultural, residential, recreational, commercial, and industrial uses, both public and private, according to the respective environmental requirements and that meet the needs of the citizens. So this is an area where this is an approved principal use. It envisions restaurants, it envisions this type of use. The use variance related to the parking here is a technical variance in the sense that if these lots were attached, if it was one lot, it would be a permitted accessory. But because of the way we're doing the lot configuration, we need that use variance. It is an appropriate location. It's an appropriate function. It's already a very popular bar. What we're looking to do is improve the operation of the property. Second, to promote a desirable visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design. Again, the primary focus here is going to be on the parking lot. It's a vacant lot today. It'll be repaved, it'll be striped, there'll be landscaping around it, there'll be new lighting put. It'll be a very attractive addition to the property versus what it is. You see Tommy's has already been renovated to a very attractive building. The utilization of that corner for an access stair will not be intrusive. But in fact, when we look at Tommy's in terms of the setbacks and the like, you see it is one of the buildings that's set back the furthest from the curb line as you go down Ocean Avenue. I'd like to distribute something to the board. These are images from Google Aerials.
Is it a packet? Is it what?
There are two.
Okay, so A, am I marking them both as A14 or is it A14 and 15?
A14 and 15.
Okay.
14.
Thank
you.
What's A14?
This is an aerial view. Of Ocean Avenue, essentially from Tommy's Tavern and the Nautilus to that'll be River Street. And the point of this is if we look at Tommy's and its configuration here, and this is fairly accurate in terms of what's there today, you'll see Tommy's has about a 12, 15 foot sidewalk in front, measuring from the curb line, and then it has the patio, and it's set back probably further than all the other properties as you go south along Ocean Avenue. As you go south, you do experience a zone change, but you also see those homes now pressed up to the right-of-way line. There's no front yard setback. They're essentially up against the sidewalks. So the prevailing pattern along Ocean Avenue is that those structures, and there are restaurants, there are hardware stores, but they're essentially butting up against the sidewalks with very little setback. The second area is moving further south from River to just about where Ocean veers to the left at the 7-Eleven. And this is really what's kind of been the central business district, and that's why we're looking at this area. And you'll see here again the prevailing pattern of setbacks is that the buildings are up against the sidewalk. There isn't any significant setback along Ocean Avenue. So in terms of the intrusion of approximately 18 inches or so, I don't think anything devastating to the zone plan or to, you know, the pattern of development that we see. Tommy's has the benefit of being set back further, has a patio there. But that 18-inch intrusion, again, given the development pattern.
And the 18-inch intrusion is only for a small portion of the building.
That's correct.
The entire building.
It's just that corner.
The entrance comes down from the second floor.
That is correct.
So it would be the northeast corner of the building.
That is correct. So that I just want to establish in terms of what the character is of Ocean Avenue in the Central Business District and what it looks like and what Tommy's is in comparison to the other businesses that are there and that it is working with in terms of growing and doing the light. Another benefit that we have to consider in terms of that activity space on the second floor is that it will be a catalyst for other businesses in town. If we're looking at parties there, that's going to mean that entertainment will be booked, that flowers will be purchased, decorators, those party planners, the like, depending on the level of the party. So the idea in terms of what the master plan seeks to do and what Tommy seeks to do is to be a business, a destination, but to also be a catalyst for other businesses, to be a draw for the other businesses, people coming here, staying in Seabright after the beach, going out for a bite, perhaps patronizing some of the other establishments, and certainly off-season when the party rooms open, to be able to provide a catalyst for other businesses like the flower shops and the like. So when we look at the gas station property, if you will, which is the subject of the use variance, we have to look at what public benefits will be derived from that. And I'd like to just go on to a few of them. So the gas station convenience store that had operated there was a non-conforming use. That's been eliminated. So the reuse of that property as a parking lot will not only ensure that that use doesn't come back, but that the property will be environmentally stabilized. There won't be any issues in terms of tanks or the like. It'll all be removed, it'll be cleaned, and it'll be operated properly in conjunction with Tommy's. The lot coverage on that will be reduced. Currently, the coverage on that exceeds 96%, where your zone requires 70%. So the coverage would be at 72% on that lot. It would bring it down substantially and much closer to conformity than what it is today. It would create more on-street parking. It was Mr. Lieber testified. This is entirely a curb cut now. There's no on-street parking here. This will now be curbed, and the access to the lot will be from Old Rumson Road. That will create more on-street parking here, if the town desires. We talked about the streetscape. It'll be a consistent streetscape with what the borough's plans are. It'll be conducive with the bridge access. We had talked to the county. This is not a property that's been targeted for taking for the bridge access, so it's not a detriment to that plan. It's creating 29 parking spaces where there aren't any today, and that includes two ADA van accessible spaces. The operation of that property formerly as a gas station and a convenience store created significant nuisance issues, particularly for the Nautilus, and that would have included traffic, odors with gas stations, noise, garbage being strewn about from people buying something to eat at the convenience store, perhaps. I mean, you see it a lot. Now it's going to be a very clean operated parking lot associated with Tommy's, and you see Tommy's maintains that property very well. He's very considerate, I think, in terms of how that property is maintained, and that would be consistent. The lighting here would be modern LED lighting. There wouldn't be spillage. It would be controlled. Formerly, this canopy had normal incandescent lighting, which was very difficult to control and certainly created significantly more glare than the LED lighting would. And finally, there'd be a much better defined egress point in terms of coming in and out, as well as the easement for the Nautilus. As you can see in the former configuration, it's a little bit confusing in terms of surfaces, where the egress is. It'll now be very well defined and striped. So those are all benefits that aren't just for Tommy's, but for the community overall in terms of the grant of this use variance. So let's talk about the use variance. What we're seeking here is a D1 use variance for the parking. Seabright within the BR zone does not permit freestanding parking other than commercial parking operations. A commercial parking garage is permitted within the BR zone. So if this were to be operated as a public parking lot, for pay, structured parking, it would be permitted. It would not be permitted if it was exclusive to a business. So when we're looking at what the intent of the ordinance is, I would think parking is considered when you're looking at the BR zone and when you're looking at the BR zone, particularly in this area. However, it would have to be a commercial lot for pay, if you will. It wouldn't be considered something that's accessory unless it was attached to the lot. And again, the formality of this application is because we're keeping it on a separate, distinct lot and it's not merging, your ordinance doesn't allow us to consider it to be accessory as of right. It's a standalone parking lot. However, we are in agreement that this will be exclusive to Tommy's and will be dedicated as such through the appropriate agreements and contracts and the like. So when we look at the negative impacts of that, I quite frankly don't see any. We're eliminating a former gas station convenience store. we're closing in the curbing, we're improving the streetscape, we're improving the appearance of this lot through landscaping, we're delineating 29 spots where none exist today. It's an overall improvement to the area, and it'll provide Tommy's parking where he had none essentially. We talked a little bit about the agreement, but that's not something that we've relied upon. We do need the parking for this, and 29 spaces is something that in Seabright, I think would be near and dear to any use.
Can you just interject something here? Andy, in terms of other parking lots that run along Ocean Avenue, obviously, there are others. We have the beach clubs across the street from Tommy's, which has front parking lots.
The parking is primarily on the east side of Ocean Avenue, and you'll see a lot of development on the west side of it. And in those aerials that I passed out, you'll see those buildings are essentially side to side, block to block. There isn't any parking. Everyone's relying on either street parking or parking across the street that's made available either through public parking or by agreement.
So essentially, on the east side of Ocean Avenue, you have the beach club parking, which is the front. You have the municipal parking lot, which obviously is several hundred feet along Ocean Avenue.
That's correct.
And then you move down, obviously, to Donovan's here, which again has parking in the front of Donovan's restaurant also.
That's correct.
And as far as other restaurants in this area on Ocean Avenue, we have Angelica's. Do they have any parking?
They have none.
Mad Hatter is closed, obviously, but to your knowledge, will they have any parking as a result of their application? Not that you're aware of. Woody's?
Woody's, Woody's is on the east side, and there is parking. I'm not sure it's exclusive to Woody's. I can't tell from the aerials, but there is parking around Woody's.
You don't know whether that's municipal or his parking?
I believe that's municipal, but I can't be certain.
Okay. And obviously, Angelica's, we spoke about, has parking.
Right, Angelica's, there's
Harry's.
Rory's has no parking.
Harry's.
Harry's.
Has no parking.
It's not Rory's.
Yeah.
Come on, Marty, you gotta get with the times.
Is that Harry's anymore?
No, it's Rory's.
Rory's. I'll always be Harry's to me. In any event, so there's obviously a considerable amount of restaurants in the municipality, in this location, that do not have parking.
That's correct.
As I recall, McLuhan's new facility did require significant parking variance.
Significant parking variance, yes.
And adjacent to that, there is apparently a private parking lot to the north of McLuhan's, which is also fronts on Ocean Avenue.
That's correct.
All right.
That's correct.
On that same subject, since you brought it up, all these restaurants that you also mentioned don't have any property available to them to make it parking.
That's right.
How many cars would you be able to sit in the back of Tommy's?
That's not something we explored.
But they...
There, we did in the initial application. I'd have to look through there. When you, in the initial application, and just because Mr. Gazarovski brought it up too, and I want, the original application required 135 spaces and zero were provided. With the amended site plan, it gave rise to 53 additional spaces, of which 29 are provided. So I just wanted, there was a question, and frankly, I couldn't remember everything from, you know, without looking at my notes. So I did look at my notes, Mr. Gazarovski, and that's that. The original, I know there was discussion as to, I mean, they claimed a very low number, but, you know, as to what could fit there. I'll try to look, but it, I don't remember off the top, Dave, but there was testimony on your original application, I think quite vigorous questioning by our chairman here as to what could be accommodated in the back.
The only reason I brought the subject up is that any restaurant in this town that has ever become before us, or any facility, even as late as you talked about McLuhan's, they utilize all their available area for parking. We had Rooney's came before us. They were able to give 13 people in the backyard that they had some property for. You have property, yet you don't want to use it for parking. You're utilizing a lot next door to you. I'm just wondering why, what could you, how many cars do you think you could fit in the backyard if it was not seating for patrons away?
If I may just address that.
And I'm not talking about public parking. I'm thinking maybe at least we could put the employees back there. You could probably get 10 or 15 cars back there, get them off the street, because 8 months in a year, there's no parking problems in this town. He has the whole town and he utilizes it. God bless him. And the 4 months in the summer, everybody's starting for every single spot you can possibly get a hold of. And we already gave him a variance for 135 initially. He's asking for 53 more now. He's going to have 29 on a lot that that is a separate ownership. We don't know what legally.
No, well, actually, the part of what they stipulated too was that lot 4 and lot 5 would always remain in common ownership. Neither could be sold without the other being sold with it. Their testimony was that they would have put it in common ownership, but for the environmental conditions on lot 5, and because of that, they really needed to keep it separate. But as to that, I mean, your line of questioning is legit, but as to that, they did
say he could never sell lot 5.
Without lot 4.
Without lot 4, okay.
Right.
That satisfied that. But the total amount of parking spaces they need is 188 spots. They're providing 29. So the total variance is 159 parking spaces. And he has some property in the backyard that he could utilize for some, possibly get 10 or 15 cars off the street with employees, which wouldn't be unsafe for public going in and out, which was one of the arguments. I'm just curious why that wasn't in your consideration, considering how many parking spaces.
I'll tell you why.
You need.
Because my client went to a considerable expense acquiring lot 5. For him to take a lot.
Can I please interrupt you? Finances has nothing to do with this. It's what's good for the town. Whether he makes $10 million or $10 is not my concern.
Dave, let him answer your question.
Okay, but finances should have nothing to do with this. Absolutely nothing to do with it.
You're right. The finances isn't any, but on the initial application, I don't have that with me, but because you made a lot of findings as to that in that original one. And their testimony, and it's their testimony, I'm not endorsing one way or the other, was that because there is outside dining in the rear that was already agreed, without them using the rest, the concern was that people are going to take advantage of walking to the river, and they didn't want I'm not saying I agree with them, but they didn't want that mixed pedestrian patrons that were outside that were, you know, utilizing that are going to naturally walk to the river and see the pretty views and et cetera, et cetera. And they felt that was not a good mix. I'm not saying I agree with them, but that was what they.
But in the same argument, if it was just employees, they're there for the whole duration. They're not coming in and out. They're there from the time they open to the time they close.
So go ahead, Marty.
Do you want me to answer your question? I'll be glad to.
I'm not concerned about his finances.
I appreciate if I start to answer your question, if I wouldn't be interrupted.
I'm concerned about the parking, not his finances.
Okay, answer it.
The board can always consider economic conditions. Not dispositive of the entire case, but always can consider economic ramifications. Okay. Just like a board can always consider, but not dispositive, tax revenue issues and things like that. I'm going to answer the question as best I can, Dave. You may not agree with me. I understand, but I'm going to answer your question. My client heard you at the first hearing when you first approved this. He heard that you were concerned about parking. He responded. He went out and bought a parking lot. Okay. This is a very valuable piece of property that could be developed for a different type of use, a permitted use in this zone, and he can reap a much greater benefit in the development of this property other than for an accessory parking lot, which is going to be stipulated to as solely for the use of the restaurant. That's one thing I want you to consider. He heard you. What did he do? He went out and spent money, and he bought a parking lot, and he's putting 30 spaces there. That's number one. Number two, there was reasons set forth on this record when you first approved this application why we weren't putting parking in the back. And based upon those reasons, the board granted the variance. Okay? Now, some of you may not